بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين All praise is due to Allah and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad peace be upon him and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first put the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah the Exalted said in the Quran, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ Which means Allah raises in ranks those who believe in Allah and acquire the knowledge about religion. The best knowledge and the knowledge that should come first is the knowledge about Allah and His Messenger. That what we call ilm al-tawheed, the knowledge of al-tawheed. For this purpose, the scholars of Islam wrote many books about the belief of Muslims. To show the importance of this subject, thousands of books for the scholars contain this subject, the subject about the belief in Allah and His Messenger. Among those scholars is Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, who wrote the book called The Creed of Al-Tahawi. It is the creed of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah as collected and gathered by this scholar Abu Ja'far Al-Tahawi, who stated at the beginning of this creed that this creed mentioned in his book is a creed of As-Salaf, Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, As-Salaf, those who lived in the first 300 years after Hijrah. He mentioned that at the beginning of his book, Al-Aqidah Al-Tuhawiyyah. We'll continue tonight, inshallah, explaining this creed. Imam Abu Ja'far Al-Tuhawi said, what means, inasmuch as Allah is the one who gives life to the dead, al-muhyi, after He first created them and deserved this name before He gave them life, He also deserved the name the Creator before bringing the creation into being. Explanation: Allah gives life to and takes away from His creation. Allah al-Muhyi, the one who gives life to His creation. Al-Mumit, the one who takes the life away from His creation. He was attributed with this eternally before He brought the creation into existence. So we call Allah al-Muhyi before He brought the creations into existence. Before He created us, Allah is Al-Muhi. After Allah created us, Allah is still Al-Muhi. Similarly, He was the Creator eternally before He created the creations. So Allah is the Creator before He created the creations. Allah is Al-Muhi before He gave life to His creations. After He gave them life, Allah is still Al-Muhi. After Allah created the creations, Allah is still the Creator. That's the meaning of what Imam Abu Ja'far said. He says, this is because Allah has power over all things. Everything needs Him, and every matter is easy for Him. He does not need anything. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ Ayah 11 of Surah Shura means, nothing resembles Him, Allah, in any way, and He is attributed with hearing and sight. Explanation: Allah has power over everything. The effect of His power in things shows that everything needs Him. Hence, everything is easy for Him. This ayah verse categorically negates any resemblance between Allah and His creations. Moreover, this ayah is a proof that Allah is attributed with hearing and sight, which are different from those of the creation. If you look at this verse from the beginning, Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ Then, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ The beginning of this verse, Allah is clearing Himself from resembling the creations in any way. That's the beginning of the verse. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ This part of the verse means Allah does not resemble any of His creations in any way. That's the first part. The second part, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ Allah attributed Himself with hearing and sight. This is a proof that the sight of Allah is not like our sight. The hearing of Allah is not like our hearing. We hear through an instrument, the ear. Allah created the ear for us as an instrument in order for us to be able to hear. So this is an instrument. We need such an instrument, if you can call it a device. God created this instrument for us, or this device, to be able to hear the sounds with it. Allah, the one who created these ears for us, Allah doesn't need any of His creations. So Allah hears everything without Him being in need to an instrument or organ to hear with. Allah sees everything without Him being in need to an eye or pupil or any other instrument. So Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't resemble any of His creations. So from this verse we know this. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ Nothing resembles Allah in any way. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ And He is attributed with hearing and sight. So the hearing of Allah is not like our hearing. The sight of Allah is not like our sight. Allah's hearing and sight don't resemble any of the creation ones. Allah brought the creation into existence in accordance with His knowledge. Explanation: Allah knew eternally the number of creations He would create. As Allah said in the Quran, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقُ Allah knows what He creates. He knew eternally every detail about them. He did create them according to this eternal knowledge. This is the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that Allah the Exalted knows about His creations. Whatever we do, whatever we say, Whatever we put in our hearts, Allah knows about it. Allah knows about what happened and what's happening now and what's going to happen till no end. Allah knows about all these things. The enjoyment in paradise is everlasting with no end. The torture in hellfire is everlasting with no end. Allah knows about all the details of the enjoyments in paradise. Allah knows about all the types of torture in hellfire till no end. Nothing escapes from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This belief, the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah about this, is in contrary to what the ancient Greek philosophers used to say, and in contrary to what Ibn Taymiyyah said following the saying of the ancient Greek philosophers. The ancient philosophers said, Allah does not know about the details of the enjoyment in paradise. Ibn Taymiyyah, who lived about 600 or 700 years ago, Ibn Taymiyyah followed the philosophers in this saying, in this belief, without claiming that he is a philosopher. But in fact, what he believes is the same as the ancient philosophers. Ibn Taymiyyah said, Allah does not know the details of the enjoyment in paradise. And who's the one who created paradise and hellfire? Allah. Who's the one who creates? Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah is the only creator. Doesn't Allah know about His creations? Allah knows about His creations. Allah knows about every leaf that falls down to earth, to the ground. Allah knows about it. The small worm that is in the ocean or inside the soil is eating, for instance, Allah knows about it. Nothing escapes from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In paradise, the enjoyment is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How dare Ibn Taymiyyah and the rest of the philosophers say that Allah doesn't know the details of the enjoyment in paradise, wal-iyazu billahi ta'ala. This is against the belief of the Muslims. This is one of the matters, the three sayings of the philosophers that are clear blasphemy. This is one of them. Also, they're saying that the world, the upper world, has no beginning. So they believe that the upper world has no beginning. Others said that the type of the world has no beginning and the individuals are created. And this is blasphemy too. Imam Badruddin Az-Zarkashi, in his book Tashnif Al-Masami', Sharh Jam' Al-Jawami', in this book, stated that both philosophers, both type of philosophers, those who said that the world has no beginning by its kind and individuals, and those who said that the kind of the world is eternal and the individuals are created, both of them are blasphemers. And this is the scholarly consensus, al-ijma'. So Imam Badruddin Az-Zarkashi in this book, Tashniful Masami', relayed the scholarly consensus that both philosophers, both type of philosophers, those who said that the type of the world is eternal but the individuals are created, and those who said that the world is with its individual and type is eternal, both are blasphemers. He mentioned that in his book. He meted out matters for them. Explanation: Allah allotted for His creation what they have in accordance with His eternal knowledge and destiny, and allotted their obedience and disobedience, wealth and poverty, health and sickness, and the like. What you are doing in this life, what you see in this life, are all created by Allah the Exalted. Allah Azza wa Jal gave everyone what He willed for him to get in this life by His eternal will. And this is in accordance to the eternal knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what happens to us happens because Allah willed for us to do that thing, for instance, and Allah willed for that to happen to us by His eternal and eternal knowledge and eternal will. Everyone takes in this life what Allah willed for him. No one goes against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one goes against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That means our will is under Allah's will. We will to do something. But if Allah didn't will by His eternal will for that thing to happen, we won't get it. We won't achieve it because Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't will for it to happen. Sometimes you might have, for instance, a new baby. Your wife might deliver a baby and you find the baby sick. You try to do something about it. He's going to die. You take him to the hospital. You pay money. You bring all the available doctors. You bring professors just to treat your baby before he dies, to treat your son. Your actions is a proof that you will for your son to survive. You want your son to live. But you get surprised and shocked when you hear from the doctor that your son is dead. What did you will for your son? You willed for your son to survive. What did Allah will for your son? Not to survive. The will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fulfilled, not your will. So you will to do something. If your will coincides with the eternal will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then your will be fulfilled. But if your will is against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed by His eternal will, then you won't get what you willed. That's the meaning of the word we say, أَنْتَ تُرِيدُ وَأَنَا أُرِيدُ وَاللَّهُ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. You will to do something, I will to do something, but in the end, Allah does whatever He willed. You will to do something, I will to do something, but at the end, what will happen is what Allah willed by His eternal will. Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi continues to say, He appointed times of death for them. Explanation: Allah designated fixed lifespans for His creation. Hence they die at the exact moment that He willed for their death. No one can delay His death one moment. No one can defer His death for 1 hour. No one dies before the time that Allah willed for that person to die in. Exactly in the exact moment that Allah willed for the person to die, he will die in that exact moment. Not before 1 minute, not after 1 minute. Even the breaths that a person breathes every day, his breath is counted for him. When you are very close to death and you are breathing, for instance, let us say the 10th breath before your death, that's the 10th, 9th, 8th, 7th, until you reach zero and you do not breathe one more breath. So your breath is counted. Imam Ahmad al-Rifa'i used to say, "Oh, you whose breath is counted for him, you will reach a day when you finish this number, that when you die." So your lifespan is specified by Allah's will. You do not die before or after. If you kill a child, for instance, it doesn't mean that Allah willed for that child to live for 60 years and you shortened his life. No. You do not shorten the life of anyone. You killed him at that time. That means Allah willed for that child to die in that exact moment. Allah didn't will for him to live until he becomes like 40 or 50 or 60, for instance. This is the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. As Allah said in the Quran, فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقُدِمُونَ فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ When your life's lifespan is finished, you will die. And you do not die before that moment, and you do not die after that moment. So, it depends on Allah's will. It depends on Allah's will. This is the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But the Mu'tazila, those in the past, and those are deviants from the right path of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Mu'tazila said, if you kill someone, you shortened his lifespan. They believe Allah willed for him to live more, but you shortened his life. According to what they say, if Allah willed for that person to live at 60, to the 60 for instance, to 60 years, and you killed him at the age of 40, because you willed to kill him, according to them, your will is fulfilled, and the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla is not fulfilled. They made Allah weak in his creation, wal'iyazu billahi ta'ala. And this is kufr, this is blasphemy. The one who says, Allah willed for someone to do this, but he did the opposite, for instance, this is blasphemy. Because this means he defeated Allah's will. He went against Allah's will. Everything in this life is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, good and evil. If someone says, why did Allah create evil? The answer is, Allah does whatever He wills. Allah created evil, it's like a test for the slaves, to show people who's gonna follow the right path and who's gonna commit the evil deeds. The one who does the good deeds will be rewarded, and the one who commits the evil deeds deserves to be tortured in the hereafter. Allah Azza wa Jal does whatever He wills. So the will of Allah Azza wa Jal is always fulfilled. No one can change the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can go against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It happened one day that one of the Mu'tazila, those we mentioned earlier, one of the Mu'tazila met with a person from Al-Majus, those who used to worship fire, on a deck of a ship. The Mu'tazili, in his opinion, he wanted to call that person to embrace Islam. The Majusi one, the one who worshipped the fire. He said to him, embrace Islam. But that Majusi was very bad to an extent that he knows exactly what Mu'tazila believes about Allah and about the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Which doesn't make sense. And when he said to him, embrace Islam, the Majusi said to him, Allah didn't will for me to embrace Islam. Because he knows what they believe. When he said, Allah didn't will for me to embrace Islam, the Mu'tazili wal-iyazu billah, he's a blasphemer too, said to him, Allah willed for you, but Satan stopped you from embracing Islam. Then that Majusi said to him, so I'm with the stronger. I'm with the one who is stronger. To say that Allah willed for you, but Satan stopped you, that means the will of Satan was fulfilled, and the will of Allah Azza wa Jal wasn't fulfilled. This includes attributing weakness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created us. Allah does whatever He wills in His creations, and He's not unjust to anyone. So we do not say that Allah willed for you to do that thing, but you are not doing it, or Satan stopped you. We don't say that, because this means attributing weakness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone is not praying, and it happens, some people say to him, pray. Prayer is obligatory upon you. He says, until Allah wills. They say in Arabic. He says, until Allah wills. That he means, if Allah willed for me, by His eternal will, to pray, at a point in time, I will pray. And this excuse is disliked in religion. Just to, for instance, based on the belief that whatever Allah willed shall happen, and you do not pray, you do not do anything, you say until Allah willed, this is not an acceptable excuse for a person to say. This way of taking this as a proof for not to pray is disliked Islamically. Because none of people would sit without looking for food, without working, and says, until Allah Ta'ala wills, or if Allah willed by His eternal will that at that point in time I will be granted sustenance, I will get my sustenance, and stays without food, without looking for food. He's not going to do this. Same. We believe that everything happens by Allah's will, but we have to follow the reasons. So we have to look for food, for instance. We have to go and pray. We have to acquire the knowledge about religion. We do not sit down and say, if Allah willed for me to learn about Islam, I will learn one day. And just He stays. To take this as an excuse for not learning, for not praying, is disliked. But in some matters, after something happens, if someone said, how did you do this? And you say, Allah willed that, this is not disliked, because it happened. If you say after that, Allah willed that to happen, so it happened, this is not disliked. It has been mentioned, I'll give you an example. It has been mentioned that Prophet Adam, met with Prophet Moses in what we call it the life of Al-Barzakh after death. They met. Moses alayhi salam said to Adam, and he wasn't debating him in a way like to pick on him or something like that. No. It's like you can say a friendly talk. He had a friendly chat with Prophet Moses, between Moses and Adam. Then Moses said to Adam, "You are the one who caused our descendants to earth. So you were the reason why we are here on earth. If it wasn't for you, we would be living in paradise now." He was saying that, as I said, it's like a friendly chat, a friendly talk. Then Adam said to Prophet Moses, alayhi salam, "And you read in the Torah that Allah revealed to you that this matter is what Allah willed for me before creating me." Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after mentioning the hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in this friendly debate, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Adam had the proof against Moses. Because he said, "You read in your Torah that Allah willed for that to happen before creating me." So after it happens, if you say, if someone says to you, "Why you did that," for instance, and you say, "Allah willed that, and Allah does whatever He wills," in this way, you are not blamed, and this is not disliked. So everyone will die in the exact time, and his death is not deferred. The scholars of Islam stated that the prophets do not escape from the angel of death, Azrael. And they do not hate death and refuse to die, as some wrote in some books, which is not true. In some books they said that some prophets hated to die and refused to die. This is not true. They mention a story about Prophet Abraham, Ibrahim alayhi salam. They say that the angel of death came to Prophet Abraham, and this is not true. They say he came to him and said to him, "God sent me to take your soul out now." They say that Prophet Abraham said to him, "Allah Azza wa Jal loves me because I'm a special slave to Allah Azza wa Jal. Does He take my soul? And I'm beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." They say that the angel of death supplicated to Allah and said, "O Allah, your slave Abraham is refusing to die. And he's saying that he is beloved to you, and how could you take his soul?" Then they say that Allah said to the angel of death, "Go back to Abraham, tell him that Allah missed him." This is blasphemous, walayyazu billah. This story is not right. To believe that Prophet Abraham was to die in that specific time, and after this argument with the angel of death, his death was deferred until he came the other time, this is against the Quran. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقُدِمُونَ. When the time comes for the death, this will not be prior to the exact moment that Allah willed, and it will not be after the exact moment that Allah willed. Also, they mention a story about Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, they say that the angel of death came to take his soul out. Then Prophet Moses fought with him and he poked his eye. That what they say. But the story is not like that. The story is that the angel of death came in a shape of a man to Prophet Moses. When he was coming to him, not to take his soul at that time, he was coming to him. Prophet Moses alayhi salam thought that he is a person attacking him. He's an enemy who is willing to attack him. So Moses fought with him and he poked his eye. But he didn't know that he was the angel of death. Then after that, he told him that he is the angel of death and he surrendered to Allah's will and he took his soul out. So it's not like some people might relate this story about Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. So Allah Azza wa Jal appointed times of death for the slaves. Nothing was hidden from him before he created them. He knew what they would do before he created them. Every detail about the creation was known eternally to Allah Azza wa Jal. He knows about what he already created and about what he will create. He ordered them to obey him and forbade them to disobey him. Allah created the creations and tested them with ordering them to obey him and forbidding them to disobey him. This meaning is stated in the Quran in this ayah. قَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, which means Allah created the humans and jinn to order them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if someone asks why we are here in this life, we are here to worship Allah. What is the purpose and the wisdom behind creating humans and jinn? The wisdom is to order us to worship Him. And knowing that Allah does not get benefited by our worship and Allah does not get harmed by our sins. But He created us and He tested us. The one who obeys Allah will end up in paradise. The one who disobeys Allah will end up in hellfire. وَلَيَّازُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Everything exists in accordance with His destiny and will. His will is fulfilled. The slaves do not will anything except what He willed for them. So whatever He willed for them does come into being, and whatever He did not will does not exist. Explanation: Allah, by His will, specifies the creations with the different properties that they may have. The wills of the slaves are created by Allah. When you will to do something, your will is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we had our wills, Allah willed eternally for our wills to be created. So our wills are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before Allah created us, Allah created paradise and hellfire. This is because Allah knew that some of His slaves will be believers and others will be non-believers. Allah created paradise and hellfire before creating humans and jinn. Allah knows by His eternal knowledge and willed by His eternal will that some of His slaves will be believers, others will be non-believers. One of the scholars called Umar bin Abdul Aziz said, if Allah didn't will for evil to happen, He would have not created Satan from the first place. Who created Satan? Allah. Allah knows that Satan, Iblis, will be a blasphemer. Allah knows that Iblis will drag people to blasphemy. But knowing all this, Allah created him. That means Allah willed for that to happen. But what we say God created good and evil. Good and evil occur by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They happen by the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the good is ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves for us to do the good only. And evil is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah forbade us from committing evil. That what every Muslim should have in his heart. This is the belief of the Muslims. We say in the Quran, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقِ. What's the meaning of مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقِ? You are seeking refuge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil Allah created. Because evil is created by Allah. The Pharaoh of Egypt wasn't evil. He was evil. Who created him? Allah. Some rulers are unjust rulers, or were unjust rulers, were aggressive. Who created them? Allah. So Allah willed for good and evil to happen. But Allah ordered us with the good and forbade us from committing the evil. This is the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So if we find ourselves on the right path and have the proper belief, then we must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guiding us to Islam, for choosing us to be among the Muslims, not among the non-believers. Some people now worship rats, snakes, statues, and they think they are on the right path. They are not worshipping Allah. They worship these creatures, and they do not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They think they are on the right path. In fact, they are misguided. So they might spend 60 years, for instance, in the temple, worshipping that rat, or worshipping that snake, or that idol for 60 years inside that temple, and they don't want to get married. They dedicated their lives to be in the temple. They die, they go to hellfire. Why? Because they do not have the proper belief. God is the one who created us. He's the only one who deserves to be worshipped. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we love him, we honor him, we respect him, but we do not worship him because he is a creation of God. None of Allah's creations deserves to be worshipped. So we do not worship Prophet Muhammad. We do not worship Prophet Jesus. We do not worship Prophet Moses. We do not worship Prophet Abraham. All the prophets were Muslims, starting from Adam, ending with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of them were Muslims. Prophet Abraham was Muslim. His true followers were Muslims. Prophet Moses was Muslim. His true followers at his time were Muslims. Prophet Isa was Muslim. His true followers were Muslims also. Prophet Muhammad is Muslim and his true followers are Muslims. Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, Prophet Jesus, will descend to earth before the day of judgment. At that time, some people among the Christians and Jews will embrace Islam, will follow Prophet Jesus in Islam. He is now alive in the second sky. He will come down before the day for judgment. He wasn't crucified. He wasn't killed. So the one who was crucified and killed wasn't Jesus. It was his youngest follower. Jesus was protected by Allah's power. He was raised to the second sky. He is alive there. And he will come down before the day of judgment. He will be the leader of all Muslims on earth. All Muslims will follow Jesus. Because he will rule according to the rules that Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam for 40 years before he dies. This is the belief of the Muslims. But the one who wants to take his knowledge about Islam from the movies, from the cinemas, from the actors and the actresses, he ends up having a very strange belief in his heart, which is not the belief of Muslims. So that's why we encourage you to acquire the knowledge about Islam. Any question, anything, ask about it. Do not hesitate and do not feel shy, because knowledge is not obtained if you are shy or if you are stubborn or if you show off, for instance. You should be humble, sit in the place where Islam is taught, and ask about the matters that you need. By this you will be knowledgeable, inshallah, and you will know what is wrong and what is right. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us the blessings of the prophets and to facilitate for us the routes to acquire more knowledge about Islam. إِنَّهُ عَلَى مَا يَشَاءُ قَدِيرٌ وَبِعِبَادِهِ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.